from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, man. Hour number 3 live from Twin Peaks here in Buckhead. It's Chris in for Carl on Dukes and Bell. Get to the dog report in just a second. Got a cool poll question up at Dukes and Bell 929. I think we talk about this every couple of years when we usually have some kind of heartbreaking defeat or just some disappointment from the U.S. men's national team. Poll question Carl and I and Chris actually put together today. After a heartbreaking loss to Panama, do you feel that America's top athletes will ever take on professional soccer as their primary sport? You guys can vote right now. I said not until the money makes sense. 27.5% of our audience says yes, soccer is growing. Not until the money. That's at 29. That's leading. Oh, no, check that. Never is 43.1. That is leading. So go up and down. I'm sorry. Use your glasses, son. So you guys have got time to vote, but be curious. We've talked about this earlier. Now, the Panama game was more about poise and mental tenacity, knowing they were going to rough you up, knowing they're going to get you out of your game. But then Berhalter is such an unimpressive coach, and his brother and the way the whole thing's run. I know Alexi Lawless has railed about it for years on our show.
Yep.
About how do we get the inner city kids? How do we get the kids that are playing college football in the SEC, whether the size by comparison, cornerback, wide receiver, running back, whatever would translate to soccer, play soccer.
Pay him.
Exactly. There's got to be some coin.
That's what it comes down to. You can't. I mentioned this earlier. You know, if you made the decision to go to one of the top schools in the country, and Alabama's soccer scholarship is nice, and I'm sure their team is good and their facilities are nice, but what is your future? Your future is in football.
And you've got to go. First off, you got to have an academy. Now, we've got some with Atlanta United, and they're bringing kids in. They've got the soccer around the city. You know, all the stadiums around MARTA. That's great. Hopefully that gets inner-city kids to play. But we've talked about a number of guys hit us up on the text line and on Twitter. A couple of fathers and dads said, you know, I live down in, you know, Henry County. It's tough. The academy with the, for instance, United is up in, you know, in Cobb. How do you get the kids there? How do you get the kids to youth soccer, travel teams? Just like the same things dads and moms that deal with Little League Baseball. It's expensive.
Or ice hockey.
I mean, you and I think we had this conversation a few weeks ago, or maybe it was Carl and I, where Carl grew up in Texas, where I grew up in Long Island. Carl's dad was military. My dad was a cop. My mom was a teacher. The Little League travel teams, my parents had to scrape together, and that was nothing like what it is now.
Yeah.
A travel team in Long Island, you stayed on Long Island. Maybe you went upstate. But, I mean, to go all over Georgia, to go all over the Southeast, to stay in hotels and motels and all that, and we got friends and dads that do that every weekend. It's expensive. You know, not everybody. I mean, I couldn't do the stuff that these kids do now if I was a kid playing youth sports and where I grew up.
No, me either.
Close.
No, I grew up middle class,
right.
And that's exactly where it was. I like this tweet from Anish, who hits us up and says, I didn't see an athleticism issue yesterday, more immaturity and giving in to Panama's Bush League crap.
Yeah, we know it, but they've played Panama a million times in CONCACAF. That's what they do. They play dirty. They play aggressive. The tackle on Pulisic was, like you didn't get charged for assault. You know what I mean? But that's what they do. You got to expect that. And then, as we say, anytime you see these kids, no disrespect to the squad because they're supposed to be top 20 in the world, but, I mean, guys, our best athletes are playing SEC football. Our best athletes, you know, are college basketball point guards. I'd have to tell you guys, you see it. And with all due respect to our U.S. men's national team that's highly regarded, if they don't beat Uruguay, and they have to beat Uruguay, there are some scenarios where they could perhaps get a tie, but that requires Panama basically stinking it up against Bolivia. Uruguay just lit Bolivia up like a Christmas tree, 5-0. So adios to Berhalter and a team. This is a team with those expectations in 2 years for the World Cup. This would be a huge blow to U.S. soccer. But we're used to it. It happens all the time.
Yeah, this when was the last time the team was as competitive as it is expected to be this round?
The 94 year when we beat Colombia, that was one where we got the juice because we were a home team anyway. But that was one that was like, wow. And that was in the own goal. But still, that was where we exceeded expectations. Last year, you make it to 16, but no further. This year, there are some expectations to go further in this World Cup in 2 years, to do more. I doubt it. I don't believe it. I don't believe in our system. I don't believe in our best athletes playing the sport, and that's got to change. And hopefully from the grassroots, it will. I just think it needs a complete tear down to the studs when how U.S. soccer is run. Columbus is the epicenter of U.S. soccer. It will be Atlanta,
yes.
And maybe that will change things, right?
Yeah, I think so, and we have people that are blowing up the text line and Twitter right now. We Talk Hawks says when they hire a winning manager. So
yeah, Berhalter's a stiff. Yeah. No one's impressed with Berhalter.
Yeah, people are agreeing with you. I enjoy the soccer of Spain and all over the Europe and Western, but not here in the USA. So that people are basically saying that the USA style, the USA right. brand right now, there's not enough substance.
No, and again, if you're we said this earlier just for guys who missed the conversation, a kid in a barrio in Brazil, somewhere in Rio or in Argentina or anywhere else in the world, in Africa, in Europe, in the suburbs, you know, in the lower income neighborhoods in Paris and in the bigger capital cities, that's the ticket out of poverty. Here it's a ticket to a college scholarship.
Yep.
You know, and like, I mean, Landon Donovan, for all that he accomplished, does anyone think he's one of the elite athletes in this country?
No. I think Tim Howard surpassed him in terms of right. popularity, in terms of U.S.
Clint Dempsey, to me, is the kind of toughness you want. I know Clint, not everybody likes Clint, but I'm a big fan. We need more of that kind of mental toughness. That kind of stuff's what we needed last night against Panama. But anyway, appreciate you can vote at
Dukes and Bell 929.
With that, let's hit the dog.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Hey, man. This hour of the show is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate, live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead. Kirby talking about KJ Bolden's recruitment, how he stole him or kept him away from Florida State. And he said that it was just being consistent. I guess Kirby's saying you can be a kinder, gentler recruiter?
Yeah, which is...
You buying that?
No. For me, I mean, if you're Georgia, you're Alabama, you're Texas, you're Ohio State, I don't think you need a soft touch in order to recruit some of these kids. But you know what, Mike? When you start to dig down into it a little bit, doesn't that fit the narrative of the 2024 modern athlete? Nothing is how it used to be in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. You know, when coaches would come knock on your door and say, it's a privilege for you to come play for my program. Now right. the kids think it's the other way around, Mike.
Well, look, you've got to find this balancing act. When you are now the new Nick Saban, which Kirby is, he's found the way to say, look, I got three other guys who can do what you do, so hit the bricks. But at some point, though, you know, you do have to, you know, Don Nealon from West Virginia, we had this soundbite, we used to play my old radio station I worked in up there. It's like, these kids, you gotta love them up a little bit. You know, and then, of course, when you get them in camp, then you, see, the thing is now is, it's not like the old days. You know, you wine them and dine them, and you get them in camp, and then you drop the hammer. Now you drop the hammer, and they transfer. You know, I mean, there's, you,
no, exactly.
So it's a balancing act. You've got to try to find the folks that have got good character, good parents or parent, good toughness, and are going to see it through. You're always going to have kids transferring. Like, it doesn't make you a bad person. I think we've always kind of rolled our eyes. We just say, his third transfer. Interesting. Doesn't like adversity, does he?
Well, the thing is for me.
Was it given to him?
Right. And 15 years ago, Nick Saban, I think that's part of the reason why he stepped away, Mike.
You can't. The business model's not sustainable.
No. And the approach is not the same as it used to be either. Nick used to walk in with rings on his fingers and just basically right. sit him down at the table and say, you want to play for the best organization in football. And today, kids, between the amount of teams that have good enough programs to get you into the NFL
right.
and the type of coaching and softening of the relationships between players and coaches, I just don't think they view it the same way from an athlete's perspective. I'll use the word of the day, entitlement of some of these athletes that are coming in. Mike, we heard stories of guys demanding thousands of dollars for them to come visit.
Right. I mean, we've seen it get a little kind of like the jump in the shark, what happened down in Florida. And that quarterback, ironically, is now at the yeah. University of Georgia.
Yep.
But no, Isaiah Gibson, I heard Rusty Manziel talking about this on the Steakhouse, talked about it with us last week.
Yep.
You know, the idea that I'm going to USC from Warner Robins, maybe bees or my parents come and see me play in Athens. Sometimes it's as simple as that. But Kirby, because they have this machine, the way that he is the new age Saban,
you can be a little more firm in your stance than somebody like a Mike Norvell, who's got to go play the transfer portal game.
Yep.
Lane Kiffin's got to do that. You know, a lot of pressure on Ryan Day. Ryan Day's dipped in heavy into the transfer portal and try to get more out. And again, he's also recruiting the hell out of it in Ohio State.
His starting quarterback is from the transfer portal this year.
Right.
You know what the irony is, too, Mike, is Deion at Colorado is trying to be old school, and all of his kids are leaving.
Right.
He's trying to be the alpha. He's trying to be the guy that is the P1, day one at the university. Mm-hmm. The university runs through him, and his kids are bolting.
Yeah, that's what's so funny. Now, look, I don't like the fact that some people, and some of it is tinged with racism or whatever, but some guys have their agendas when it comes to Deion.
Yeah.
You know, and I just felt like, remember Venables at Oklahoma? Well, I stayed with my kids. Yeah, congratulations. You went to the, you know, you went to the Cheez-It Bowl.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just, you've got to be able to, it's a balancing act, you know, to get your message and your program established, but you got to kiss these kids' butts. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're Kirby, because you have the track record and you're putting guys in the league the way Saban did, you can maybe be a little more firmer in your stance. But it's kind of funny with him talking about how, you know, with Bolden, I told him we had a lot of respect for him. We weren't going to stop recruiting him. Thought this was the best place for him. So he said it was, you know, I guess it was a balancing act in that recruitment alone as well.
Yeah, he didn't push too far in terms of making him feel like he needs to make a decision right away. You know, you have to give them their space to mold and grow and become the beautiful butterfly that they become in 2024. It's just so funny to see that, because these coaches, they do come, once you're in, and they command all the power in the university, and you gotta play your part too as the athlete. But before you sign that letter to come on campus,
right,
you need to be handled with kid gloves.
Well, I was talking to a Florida State fan, a buddy of mine, the other day. He was getting all pissy with me because I said, C.J. Wiley, there's no guarantee he's going to stay in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
He just decided over LSU and Georgia. That was a big story 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a shocker when he did his announcement. Everyone's like, whoa. I thought even his parents were kind of like, what the? It's still, he can change. He's still going to take visits. I'll give you even money. Wiley's a dog by this time next year.
Yeah, it's basically when they sign that NLI, it's easier now than ever to get out of it, and that is the national letter of intent is what basically binds you to the university. But there are ways to finesse and finagle to get out of it, as Mike was just talking about. And all these kids, if you follow our guy Rusty on On3 or 24/7 Sports, wherever you use to get your college football information. It's funny. Check the rankings and check the projections on a week-to-week basis and see how much changes. Because this kid went to this school and didn't like the cafeteria. Or this kid went to this school and didn't like the weight room. It happens more frequently than it ever did, Mike.
Hey, man, we spent a lot of time this week talking about Jalen Milroe and Georgia's inability to get him on the ground, stop him in the SEC championship. It's interesting. There's some stuff on Saturday Down South on their podcast, which I was listening to the other day, talking about, you know, all those things he said that came out in December after they beat Georgia. And, again, how he's adapting to DeBoer's offense. To me, that's going to be the key. What does he look like in a Kalen DeBoer offense, especially when Georgia has to go to Tuscaloosa this year? Dog Report, guys, right here on Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. A lot of folks hanging out, throwing down some wings, some cold brew. Plenty of room for you guys. We're right on Piedmont, right in the heart of Buckhead. Join the party, pal. And again, guys, this week has been a lot of fun with Chris and Carl. We've had so much with the draft, so much hype building up. And I got to be honest, we always knew the draft was kind of like, okay, that's something which maybe happens 2-3 years down the road, whoever we were going to pick. What's going to happen now? Free agency.
Right.
The trade window. You're hearing all these other teams making moves.
Yeah, and we just saw a report that Jake Fisher, Yahoo Sports, NBA Insider, just put out about Brandon Ingram, who's a guy that the Hawks have been linked
to. So is he interested in Atlanta?
Well, that's the thing. Apparently, that they are projecting him to want out. That's the story right now. Brandon Ingram wants out of New Orleans.
Brandon Ingram is everything we don't have.
He would be a perfect fit for the Hawks. The chatter, apparently, though, Mike Bell, is all between the media. It's not actually coming from his camp and Atlanta's camp. It's stuff people saying, oh, that's a good fit. We think it could happen. But apparently Jake Fisher's reporting nothing concrete.
And again, I know that I've said the same thing every day for the last 2 months. Spend some frickin' money.
Yep.
Show this fan base that you actually care. You know? I mean, you're telling me you're going to run this thing back? You can't make any kind of, like, again, you're not going to make a trade for trade's sake. You got to get value. But this is getting frustrating. We'll vent our frustration at Steve Kuhn at 4:40.
I'm sure he'll love that.
Oh, yeah. Great. Just what I'm waiting for. Next, though, Danny Vietti is going to join us. CBS Sports, MLB, Believe Network. The Phillies just took a hit. 2 big injuries. Does that mean the Braves can make some ground? We'll throw some names, some trade bait and see if Danny thinks the Braves can pull this one off like they did in 21. Coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, man, it's Friday here in Paradise. Hanging out at Twin Peaks and Buckhead, man. My boy Carl's got vacay, so it's Chris Thomas in for Carl on Dukes and Bell. This hour of the show is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Look at my boys back in that lady at the bar. That's happy hour, man. Have a good old time and have some fun. Shenanigans, get yourself a cocktail. Raina's mixing up some of her mezcal drinks over here.
She sure is.
Giddy up. Hey, man, yeah, we got to get Danny over here. Danny Vietti in here.
Oh!
Hey, Danny, maybe you want a Prosecco. It's our CBS Sports MLB Believe Network. Now, I see Danny is more of like a whiskey and a rye. What are you feeling, Danny?
It depends. A little old-fashioned. I guess it depends on the day. I mean, it is Friday, right? So
right on.
It's crazy, you know?
I hear you, man. I like that, an old-fashioned. Hey, man, we got some news. Now, again, we're not going to revel in Philly's injuries, but, man, they've been on fire, and they need to cool off. What do you make of Philly maybe coming back to earth with Schwarber and now Bryce Harper on 10-day DL?
Yeah, I think if you're a Braves fan, right, or anybody in the National League, really, you never want to root for injuries ever. Right. But if you are, you're typically going to root for the Phillies to have injuries toward October. So you want to move up in the division. You want to start making some moves, obviously, if you're a Braves fan. But if we're being honest, you know, what comes to mind is when the Raptors fans were cheering for when Kevin Durant got hurt in the NBA Finals a few years ago. If you are cheering for injury, you're hoping it's closer to playoff time because the Braves are plenty good enough to get into the dance. It's just about getting hot at the right time and facing a team that's not as hot at that time. And so I think if you're rooting for injuries, which I hope you're not, you kind of hope it's towards September, October, and not now here in June, July.
Danny, we'll talk about specific names coming up in just a bit, but what type of trade market are you projecting over the next month?
there's not a ton of like big name guys with the exception of the Chicago White Sox players. So, and that comes with a caveat too, because Luis Robert's been kind of a wild card this year. He dealt with some injuries. He's hitting below the Mendoza line. The power numbers have been there, and he's shown superstar capability. But just from a consistency standpoint, Luis Robert's going to be the biggest ticket on the market. But there's just a question mark of how much teams are going to be willing to give up for a talent such as he. The consistency, again, hasn't been there. So is a team going to be willing to give up the entire farm for a Luis Robert? Indications are the Dodgers are definitely going to be involved. The San Diego Padres are starting to win games, and we all know what A.J. Preller does at the deadline. He's a guy that keeps his foot on the gas pedal at all times. We already saw him get Dylan Cease and Luis Arraez this season alone. So the National League West could have a lot of noise. The American League East, Baltimore Orioles would love to add to their bullpen guys like Mason Miller, Michael Kopech, another Chicago White Sox could be available. So we might not see any massive major blockbuster trades, such as like a Juan Soto, but Luis Robert is going to be the biggest ticket on the market, and that certainly could be an option.
I know that as Danny Vietti joins us, guys, from CBS Sports talking MLB, a couple of years back when we lost Acuna the first time, it was amazing how our GM put things together. We got Jock Peterson. Nobody knew who Jorge Soler was outside of Kansas City and Rosario, and they basically was Moneyball. They all brought the production. They were so clutch in the postseason. You mentioned, you know, the White Sox. I know that Tommy Pham bounces around a lot, but I think I love his toughness. And I don't want to say we got to get it some toughness, but, man, Philly just basically just threw us around like a bunch of wussies last year in the NLDS. What about the idea of bringing Pham in here for some juice and then we just rent him for the for 1 year?
No, I love it. I love it. He's a kid with attitude, a guy that's been there in the postseason, plenty of postseason experience. He's been critical of the Mets, too, which I certainly think that would be a great fit. In Atlanta, when he left the Mets to go to Arizona, he basically called out the Mets for having some of the least, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically said they have some of the least hardworking players that he's ever been a part of. So that would fit well in Atlanta and that National League East division as well. Brett Rucker's another guy. He's from Oakland. He's been having a pretty stellar campaign, albeit on a very subpar team. But he's been putting up good numbers at the designated hitter position, so he's likely going to be available as well. But yeah, I like the Tommy Pham fit. I think it's interesting if maybe he could be kind of a platoon option for Kelenic, although Kelenic's been hitting the cover off the ball ever since they put him in the leadoff spot. But yeah, I like that fit.
Yeah, I think it might need to happen sooner than later, Danny, as we just get some breaking news now that Ramon Laureano, who is a backup outfielder who's been playing, is now dealing with a sore back and won't be in the lineup tonight.
Are
so
you kidding me?
We may need to get Tommy Pham on the horn as we're talking with our buddy Danny Vietti of CBS Sports. All right, you mentioned the Mets. You buy in their recent uptick.
I just think their ceiling is lower than the other teams in that National League East division. I think when everything is going right for the Mets, they're a 500, you know, a little bit above average team. Lindor got off to a really, really slow start. He's starting to figure things out. Pete Alonso's been pretty consistent. And keep this in mind, he's going to be a free agent at year's end, so he's playing for a contract. And anytime we see guys playing for a contract, they typically tend to play above their levels or at least better than their average level. So he's hitting the cover off the ball. They have some young prospects that they're looking to bring up, too, including Manny Acuña, Ronald Acuña's little brother, Luis Angel.
Right.
He's on the precipice of making his MLB debut at some point this season. So I think if you're the Mets, you look at their payroll and you think, okay, they're trying to win this season. I think from a front office standpoint, they're more so looking toward 2025, not necessarily 2024. So I think they're happy with where they're at this point. But I do think their ceiling, just like the St. Louis Cardinals, a lot like the San Francisco Giants, they just don't have a high ceiling when compared to the Dodgers and the Phillies. They just don't match up well enough. So I think they're happy with where they're at, but I don't see them making any sort of noise come postseason time.
Talking about the Bravos, man, in Major League Baseball with Danny Vietti, Believe Network, MLB, and CBS Sports. Our buddy David O'Brien, who writes for The Athletic here in Atlanta, he was throwing out some potential names, and we talked about this a few weeks ago. Our joke here is today's A's are tomorrow's Braves, because we've fleeced them a few times. Brent Rooker, now we'd have to probably give up some pitching prospects, and the idea would, if we don't pick up Ozuna's contract, Rooker, because we normally like to have salary control or expiring contracts, they usually make Alex do this with a Groupon, but what about Brent Rooker from the A's for Atlanta?
No, he's one of the guys I was mentioning, definitely. Yeah. Rucker's a guy that was a former Rule 5 guy, so Oakland picked him up. He spent most of his time with Kansas City early on in his career and just never really quite found his way. Ever since going over to Oakland, he kind of found his niche and found his way to be able to hit, especially against left-handed pitching. So I think he's a really good platoon option, and that's what Alex Anthopoulos does so well in that front office position. You look at their World Series run, it was Eddie Rosario. It was, like you mentioned earlier, it was Adam Duvall. So if they can find guys like Brent Rooker, like Tommy Pham that you mentioned, guys that can really take advantage of platoon opportunities, I think that's going to give them their best chance to make a run come postseason time. I was looking at the 2021 schedule before jumping on this call. The Braves were four games under 500 on this date in 2021 before going on to win the World Series. So I know Braves fans are panicking. I know Strider's down. I know Acuna's down. And times have been tough over the past month, month and a half. But if you look at 2021, four games under 500, you got to have faith in Alex Anthopoulos and his ability to make some moves at the deadline. Have some hope over there in Atlanta.
Yeah, nine games over 500 right now at 44 and 35. And their opponent this weekend, Danny, is the Pirates. And it's a premier matchup on Saturday as the new Lightning legend, Paul Skenes, comes to Atlanta and he takes the hill against Max Fried. What have you seen from him in his young career?
Paul Skenes has given his team a chance to win a ball game in all, I think it's seven starts at this juncture, if not six. His bullpen has blown two leads that he has allowed. He's given his team a lead in each and every one of his starts, and the bullpen blew two of those. So, in the very least, he's going to give his team a chance to win ball games. And he's just entertaining. He's one of the most entertaining pitchers I've seen, maybe since a Jacob DeGrom, maybe since a Steven Strasburg. Maybe even since Spencer Strider. He's must-watch TV right now. He's got that it factor where every single time he takes the bump, you want to tune in. I think if Paul Skenes was not in Pittsburgh, if he was in maybe a larger market, say Los Angeles, New York, even Atlanta, I think his stock right now would be as high as anybody's probably in regards to the next superstar. He's got all the stuff. The only thing that Paul Skenes, and you're splitting hairs at this point, is that some people think that his fastball can be a little flat at times. So I think that's, if you're Atlanta, you're looking to find some pitches in the zone that are a little bit flat compared to his normal stuff. But he's phenomenal. He's must-watch TV, and he's given Pittsburgh chances to win ball games each and every time. And I said this before the season, I think at Pittsburgh, that top three starting rotation of Jared Jones, Paul Skenes, and Mitch Keller, if they can just sneak into the playoffs, that's a team you do not want to face because they are dangerous.
And you feel so bad for the Pirates fans because it's such an amazing atmosphere. I've had a chance to go. I'm sure you have too, Danny. And it just seems like they have a window and then these guys are off to the Yankees or wherever else because they just can't keep them. Danny Vietti is with us, guys, from CBS Sports MLB Believe Network. We're hoping to get Ian Anderson back. We've been going with some six-man stuff, bringing guys up from the minors. It's not been great. Just real quick off the top of your head, we always do it again with a Groupon, some pitching that Alex could go after at the trade deadline.
I mean, Ronaldo Lopez came over from Chicago, and they were able to convert him from a relief pitcher to a starting pitcher. Now, he has had starting experience before, but I wonder if Michael Kopech could be another option. Maybe they don't convert him into a starting pitcher immediately. They probably wouldn't want to do that mid-season. But if you can bring over a guy like Michael Kopech, a guy with starting pitching experience, that's an interesting fit. We talked about Oakland, and Atlanta's had a long relationship with their front office. Well, Mason Miller is another guy. Yes, he is a closer right now. He's one of the more entertaining products in baseball with his 102, 103 mile an hour fastball. What people forget is that Mason Miller was a starting pitcher coming up through the system. The only reason that he got kicked out through the bullpen is because he's coming off a significant arm injury. But Mason Miller, indications are that he would love to start be a starting pitcher once again, much alike Ronaldo Lopez in Atlanta. So Michael Kopech and Mason Miller, both former starters, now converted into relief pitchers. Maybe you bring them in as a relief pitcher now, and you can hold on to those guys after the season and possibly be a fit for your rotation.
Great stuff, Danny. Hopefully we'll get you on later on this summer, man, because hopefully we can close the gap with the Phillies. The other thing we've said is, the hell with the division. Let's just get hot at the right time. Last 2 years winning the division has done us nothing in the NLDS. Have a great weekend.
Same to you guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it, man. Danny D. Hey, man, we'll come back. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Chris is in for Carl here on Dukes and Bell. Hanging out, man. Ice cold brew. Look at my man over here about to attack that burger. That's like, that burger is so big, he's breaking out the knife and fork. That's how you got to do
there
it, man.
There you go.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we'll come back and talk to Steve Coonan. Steve is going to now walk us through, step by step, Landry Fields' blueprint into turning us into playoff contenders, not play-in contenders. Hey, man, it is Friday in Paradise. Some old friends hanging out at the bar and some new friends rolling in, man. Join us at Twin Peaks. We have a good poll question up there. Chris has it posed. Will we ever see our best athletes playing soccer after U.S. gets basically out-muscled? And unfortunately, Panama got in our head, which they often do. And just a strange game as U.S. falls and now must beat Uruguay, and that's not likely. But a lot of guys are hitting us up. We ran into a couple of guys here at the bar from upstate New York who came down for the U.S.-Panama match.
Yeah.
They're on their way now to Truist Park. We're giving them some ideas of where to go. But, yeah, they were as disappointed as anybody. And, unfortunately, that's showing for USA with a lot of expectations.
That's a long way to come down.
I know. From, like, I mean, they're all the way up. Yeah. Like, we're talking, like, Plattsburgh. Like, you can see Canada from there. Hey, man, more on the soccer later in the show. Right now, let's talk hoops. We had a great conversation with Zachary Hussache. It's time for Catching Up with Coonan. And he's ready to rock. So, I mean,
I'm ready.
Hey, Steve.
I'm waiting on you.
I just love the intro. I like to get the, you know, Catching Up with Coonan. Oots, you know, it just sets the tone.
Very nice
young man, and it was really fun to talk with, and he can't wait to get here, and I think fans can't wait to see him. Talk about the process. We saw the video from the war room. Was there any doubt it was ever going to be Risache?
Landry made a final decision about 24 hours before the draft. He gave me a call, and he said, this is what we're doing. And I went, that's fantastic. Congratulations. And one of the coolest things, I don't know if y'all talked about it. If you have, cut me off. So one of the processes is from the draft room, you call into NBA headquarters and make your official pick. And Landry passed that honor to Zach Walsh, who has been our head of travel and equipment and really does everything for the team for the last 22 years. So Zach got to call in the first number one pick in the history of the Atlanta Hawks, and it was a great moment.
Steve, not to blow smoke, but I'll blow a little smoke. You guys put on a hell of a draft party.
How about that? You think any other franchise has ever done one like that?
It looked great on TV.
It was great, I hear. I was in the draft room, but everybody had a great time, 11,000 people. Yeah, and we just love our fans and so happy they came out and turned out for that party.
I mean, but Jeezy, I mean, the musical connection, that's what makes so cool about Atlanta. We've always talked about, you know, the in-game production and all the cameos and everything else that happens. There's nobody that can do what Atlanta does.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a great night out. It's a party. And hopefully we're going to be playing some exciting basketball. So I'm excited. I think, you know, having the first pick in the draft without the pain of, you know, being one of the, you know, four teams is rather remarkable. And I think that we're going to really be rewarded. And I think the globalness of the NBA is really showing.
All right, Steve, we've kissed your butt. Now it's time for bad cop. So now yeah, what are we going to do?
I was just going to go. Did I call the wrong number?
All right, now, I mean, like, Risache, the Serbian guy, maybe a draft and stash, Jurisic, but he certainly, at least the video we saw, he can drain the three. But now what? I mean, I know we've gone round and round about getting in luxury tax. Can we retool this thing and get it up beyond just the play-in team?
Well, that's the plan. You know, the next phase is free agency, and you didn't see a lot of deals because there's so many technical things that I don't want to bore people with. But the NBA fiscal year comes to an end June 30th. The new year, there's a moratorium to July 6th. But I think in the next week to 10 days, the NBA is going to be, including the Atlanta Hawks, will be in the news quite a bit.
Steve, do you know of any conversations that have taken place? Maybe you've been involved in some of them about the presentation of what's to come over the next year or two involving our star and Trae Young and the plan to build around him and this team.
I'm involved in all those conversations. Yes. Thank you for asking.
And how have they gone?
Swimmingly.
Now, are we going to run this thing back, or I mean, are we going to five guys that start?
Come on, boys.
I mean, are we going to see?
Carl goes on
are
vacation,
we going to see?
And y'all think you can ask me these job-defining questions that where you know Adam Silver will come to my house with a call and take our furniture?
I mean,
is that
about
your plan?
This? Should fans expect a lot of turnover on the roster?
You know, I think the fans should expect the Atlanta Hawks to do everything they can to improve our team to be better next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously always the goal number one, Steve. It obviously hasn't gone, you know, the way that a lot of us would have hoped the past couple of seasons. What do you pinpoint as the biggest, obviously not talking about a player or maybe even a position, what is the biggest philosophy decision for the Hawks right now in terms of getting back to becoming a playoff team that you and your management team have discussed?
To have a roster that plays incredibly well together, high basketball IQ, selfless, plays defense, and plays Quinn Snyder's form of basketball.
And would you define that as being those things that you just stated? Is that his mantra?
Not sure I understood the question, but it sounded very serious.
Meaning those adjectives that you just described as the Hawks' ethos, as the word that Landry Fields like to use, is
correct.
That in simpatico with what Quinn wants?
100%. Yes. We've all worked together to define the DNA and what we're looking for in players and what we're looking for in building a roster and how, you know, remember, basketball is truly a team sport. While superstars stand out, you can't win by yourself.
No one does it alone, says Steve Cooney.
No one does
it
alone, gentlemen.
But no one does it with two ball dominant point guards, one would argue either. So which one's going to go?
You know what?
Silence is deafening, right?
7 minutes and 21 seconds. So I think you just set a record, Mike.
I mean, I'm trying to be respectful. I mean, you've always been great with us.
You have to be respectful. I've known you for 20-plus years.
No, I mean, you're breaking my job. We all found out that Sarr never did work out for us, but that ship has sailed. We are all moving on. We like Rissa Shea. Seems like a great kid. Yep.
You know, maybe we weren't interested. Did anybody ever think of that?
We did. We did bring that up.
Did anybody ever think of that?
Yeah. No, I mean, but this gets back to. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to channel the fans' expectations with what and how you get there because a big guy with some size in a pick and roll with Trey is kind of an immediate success story versus a guy who's going to develop. I mean, they're all raw. Everybody agrees the top 10 was all raw, but we're just trying to get the most. I guess the fans expect the guy that gives the most impact.
I think the fans should expect, want, and hold us accountable for picking the best player, not the first one that necessarily comes out in some mock draft of somebody who's never seen him play in Melbourne, Australia.
Mm. No, that's 100% true. All right, so let's ask about the actual player himself. What did, from what you understood, the guys love specifically about his game and his ability to come in right away and contribute?
Well, he was in Atlanta multiple times. Bet you didn't know that.
Okay.
Did not.
He was in Atlanta He was in Atlanta multiple times. He understood the style of offense we want to play. He has a great three-point shot. He is very, very athletic going to the basket. He plays very aggressive defense. And in his workouts, and he had dinner with a group, and he had lunch with the group, and he spent a lot of time at the facility watching film and calling back. So, you know, we sometimes focus on what the hot topic is. Mm-hmm. And to us, the hot topic is finding somebody that we think our superior development team can really do something special with and take them to another level. And Zachary was a consensus pick for us to do that. And I'm really pleased with the process because the process matters. And I'm really, really pleased with the player. And, you know, the only thing I'll ask is let's give it a little bit of time. You know, the NBA is good at matchmaking. I'm sure you've seen the, you know, Summer League first night, number one pick versus number two.
And yep.
Of course, being led in by Bronny James. First time in history, the 55th pick in the draft has the first game televised. But, you know, marketing's great. Been my chosen profession for many a year.
No, it's amazing how he went from not even being in the top 100 that ESPN had him ranked in the top 50. I think he came out as 54 and he was selected at 55.
Yep.
What a coincidence. Hey, man, you have a great
day. I begged Landry to take him to build our college park. Skyhawks fell out. But,
yeah, we were talking to the audience and a lot of folks said, we got to take Bronny. I said, I just don't see that happening. I just didn't see that. And, especially when his agent threatened to take him down under. Steve, we always appreciate you being as honest as you can, as often as you can. But now the hard work begins, and next week, hopefully, you're telling me about. We're talking. Carl and I are talking to you next Friday. Big things are happening. Big things.
And, Steve, let me leave you with this. I did ask Zachary yesterday who his favorite musical acts are, so we need to get Lil Baby and Gunna to state, if you don't mind.
Well, that's not too hard. Gunna just played the building June 12th. Lil Baby's about a third of our game. So, by the way, who do you think weighed in the war room to pick him?
Wow.
Really?
How about that?
How about them apples? And by the way, a couple guys are saying, I had to explain to some folks while you were talking, Steve, the war room was not at State Farm. The war room was at the Emory Training Facility up there off of 85. So that's where you guys were.
Correct. Correct.
Thank you.
That is correct.
So I want to make sure guys are like, well, why didn't Steve come out and say hi to the fans? Well, because he's up in freaking DeKalb County. That's why. See, Steve, I got your back.
That's why. Thank you, Mike. Much appreciated. Look forward to the conversation next week, guys.
Right. You got it, brother. Thanks again, Steve. Cheers. There he is, Steve Kuhnin, the CEO of your Atlanta Hawks.
Couple of nuggets.
Yeah, man. He says stuff's going to happen. Yeah. I mean, like I said, as Carl brought up last week, great point from C. Dukes. Money's got to work. You got to have teams. There's only a finite amount of teams that could take on either DeJounte or Trey from a cap standpoint or from a half-court offense and what they've already got standpoint. We'll come back. Falcons. How much did Falcon fans trust Zach Robinson in year one? I have total faith in him, Chris.
Yeah.
More pragmatic.
Okay.
We'll dive into that. Also, Myles Garrett talking more Falcons. Grant McCauley at 540 on the Braves. Tough loss in Chi-Town. Getting ready, though, for the Pirates. All on the way, man. Live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Hey, man. It is Friday in Paradise. Some old friends hanging out at the bar and some new friends rolling in, man. Join us at Twin Peaks. We have a good poll question up there. Chris has it posed. Will we ever see our best athletes playing soccer after U.S. gets basically out-muscled? And unfortunately, Panama got in our head, which they often do. And just a strange game as U.S. falls and now must beat Uruguay, and that's not likely. But a lot of guys are hitting us up. We ran into a couple of guys here at the bar from upstate New York who came down for the U.S.-Panama match.
Yeah.
They're on their way now to Truist Park. We're giving them some ideas of where to go. But, yeah, they were as disappointed as anybody. And, unfortunately, that's showing for USA with a lot of expectations.
That's a long way to come down.
I know. From, like, I mean, they're all the way up. Yeah. Like, we're talking, like, Plattsburgh. Like, you can see Canada from there. Hey, man, more on the soccer later in the show. Right now, let's talk hoops. We had a great conversation with Zachary Lissache. It's time for Catching Up with Kuhnin. And he's ready to rock. So, I mean,
I'm ready.
Hey, Steve.
I'm waiting on you.
I just love the intro. I like to get the, you know, Catching Up with Kuhnin. You know, it just sets the tone.
Very what well a nice, done.
Nice young man, and was really fun to talk with, and he can't wait to get here, and I think fans can't wait to see him. Talk about the process. We saw the video from the war room. Was there any doubt it was ever going to be Risache?
Landry made a final decision about 24 hours before the draft. He gave me a call, and he said, this is what we're doing. And I went, that's fantastic. Congratulations. And one of the coolest things, I don't know if y'all talked about it. If you have, cut me off. So one of the processes is from the draft room, you call into NBA headquarters and make your official pick. And Landry passed that honor to Zach Walsh, who has been our head of travel and equipment and really does everything for the team for the last 22 years. So Zach got to call in the first number one pick in the history of the Atlanta Hawks, and it was a great moment.
Steve, not to blow smoke, but I'll blow a little smoke. You guys put on a hell of a draft party.
How about that? You think any other franchise has ever done one like that?
It looked great on TV.
It was great, I hear. I was in the draft room, but everybody had a great time, 11,000 people. Yeah, and we just love our fans and so happy they came out and turned out for that party.
I mean, but Jeezy, I mean, the musical connection. That's what makes so cool about Atlanta. We've always talked about, you know, the in-game production and all the cameos and everything else that happens. It just, there's nobody that can do what Atlanta does.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a great night out. It's a party. And hopefully we're going to be playing some exciting dynamic basketball. So I'm excited. I think, you know, having the first pick in the draft without the pain of, you know, being one of the, you know, four teams is rather remarkable. And I think that we're going to really be rewarded. And I think the globalness of the NBA is really showing.
All right, Steve, we've kissed your butt. Now it's time for bad comm. So now yeah, what are we
I was just going to go, did I call the wrong number?
All right, no, I mean, like, Risa Shays, the Serbian guy, maybe a draft and stash, Jurisic, but he certainly, at least the video we saw, he can drain the three. But now what? I mean, I know we've gone round and round about getting in luxury tax. Can we retool this thing and get it up beyond just the play-in team?
Well, that's the plan. You know, the next phase is free agency, and you didn't see a lot of deals because there's so many technical things that I don't want to bore people with. But the NBA fiscal year comes to an end June 30th. The new year, there's a moratorium to July 6th. But I think in the next week to 10 days, the NBA is going to be, including the Atlanta Hawks, will be in the news quite a bit.
Steve, do you know of any conversations that have taken place? Maybe you've been involved in some of them about the presentation of what's to come over the next year or two involving our star and Trae Young and the plan to build around him and this team.
I'm involved in all those conversations. Yes. Thank you for asking.
And how have they gone?
Swimmingly.
Now, are we going to run this thing back? Or, I mean, are we going to five guys that start?
Come on, boys.
I mean, are we going to see?
Carl goes on
are
vacation
we see,
and y'all think you can ask me these job-defining questions where, you know, Adam Silver will come to my house with a call and take our furniture?
I mean, all right, how about
your
this?
Plan?
Should fans expect a lot of turnover on the roster?
You know, I think the fans should expect the Atlanta Hawks to do everything they can to improve our team to be better next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously always the goal number one, Steve. It obviously hasn't gone, you know, the way that a lot of us would have hoped the past couple of seasons. What do you pinpoint as the biggest, obviously not talking about a player or maybe even a position, what is the biggest philosophy decision for the Hawks right now in terms of getting back to becoming a playoff team that you and your management team have discussed?
To have a roster that plays incredibly well together, high basketball IQ, selfless, plays defense, and plays Quinn Snyder's form of basketball.
And would you define that as being those things that you just stated? Is that his mantra?
Not sure I understood the question, but it sounded very serious.
Meaning those adjectives that you just described as the Hawks ethos, as the word that Landry Fields like to use. Is
correct.
That in simpatico with what Quinn wants?
100%. Yes. We've all worked together to define the DNA and what we're looking for in players and what we're looking for in building a roster and how, you know, remember, basketball is truly a team sport. While superstars stand out, you can't win by yourself.
No one does it alone, says Steve Cooney.
No one does
it
alone, gentlemen.
But no one does it with two ball dominant point guards, one would argue either. So which one's going to go?
You know what?
Silence is deafening, right?
7 minutes and 21 seconds. So I think you just set a record, Mike.
I mean, I'm trying to be respectful. I mean, you've always been great with us.
You have to be respectful. I've known you for 20-plus years.
No, I mean, you're breaking my job. We all found out that Sar never did work out for us, but that ship has sailed. We are all moving on. We like Risa Shea. Seems like a great kid. Yep.
You know, maybe we weren't interested. Did anybody ever think of that?
We did bring that up.
Did anybody ever think of that?
Yeah. No, I mean, but it, see, but this gets back to, I mean, it's hard to channel the fans' expectations with what and how you get there, because a big guy with some size in a pick and roll with Trey is kind of an immediate success story versus a guy who's going to develop. I mean, they're all raw. Everybody agrees the top 10 was all raw, but we're just trying to get the most. I guess fans expect the guy that gives the most impact.
I think the fans should expect, want, and hold us accountable for picking the best player. Not the first one that necessarily comes out in some mock draft of somebody who's never seen him play in Melbourne, Australia. Mm.
No, that's 100% true. All right, so let's ask about the actual player himself. What did, from what you understood, the guys love specifically about his game and his ability to come in right away and contribute?
Well, he was in Atlanta multiple times. Bet you didn't know that.
Okay. Did not.
He was in Atlanta multiple times. Right. He was in Atlanta multiple times. He understood the style of offense we want to play. He has a great three-point shot. He is very, very athletic going to the basket. He plays very aggressive defense. And his workouts, and he had dinner with a group, and he had lunch with the group, and he spent a lot of time at the facility. Watching film and calling back. So, you know, we sometimes focus on what the hot topic is. Mm-hmm. And to us, the hot topic is finding somebody that we think our superior development team can really do something special with and take them to another level. And Zachary was a consensus pick for us to do that. And I'm really pleased with the process, because the process matters. And I'm really, really pleased with the player. And, you know, the only thing I'll ask is let's give it a little bit of time. You know, the NBA is good at matchmaking. I'm sure you've seen the, you know, Summer League first night, number one yep. pick versus number two. And,
yep.
of course, being led in by Bronny James, first time in history, the 55th pick in the draft has the first game televised. But, you know, marketing's great. Been my chosen yep. profession for many a year.
No, it's amazing how he went from not even being in the top 100 that ESPN had him ranked in the top 50. I think he came out as 54 and he was selected at 55.
Yep.
What a coincidence. Hey, man,
I
you have a great.
I begged Landry to take him to build our college park. Skyhawks fell out. But,
yeah, we were talking to the audience and a lot of folks said, we got to take Bronny. I said, I just don't see that happening. I just didn't see that. Especially when his agent threatened to take him down under. Steve, we always appreciate you being as honest as you can, as often as you can. But now the hard work begins, and next week, hopefully, you're telling me about we're talking. Carl and I are talking to you next Friday. Big things are happening. Big things.
And, Steve, let me leave you with this. I did ask Zachary yesterday who his favorite musical acts are, so we need to get Lil Baby and Gunna to State, if you don't mind.
Well, that's not too hard. Gunna just played the building June 12th. Lil Baby, it's about a third of our game. So, by the way, who do you think weighed in the war room to pick him?
Wow.
Really?
How about that?
How about them apples? And by the way, a couple guys are saying, I had to explain to some folks while you were talking, Steve, the war room was not at State Farm. The war room was at the Emory Training Facility up there off of 85. So that's where you guys were.
Correct. Correct.
Thank you.
That is correct.
So I want to make sure guys like, well, why didn't Steve come out and say hi to the fans? Well, because he's up in freaking DeKalb County. That's why. See, Steve, I got your back.
See, thank you, Mike. Much appreciated. Look forward
right,
to the conversation next week, guys.
Right. You got it, brother. Thanks again, Steve. Cheers. There he is, Steve Kuhn, the CEO of your Atlanta Hawks.
Couple of nuggets.
Yeah, man. He says some stuff's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, as Carl brought up last week, great point from C. Dukes. Money's got to work. You got to have teams. There's only a finite amount of teams that could take on either DeJounte or Trey from a cap standpoint or from a half-court offense and what they've already got standpoint. We'll come back. Falcons. How much did Falcon fans trust Zach Robinson in year one? I have total faith in him, Chris.
Yeah.
More pragmatic.
Okay.
We'll dive into that. Also, Myles Garrett talking more Falcons. Grant McCauley at 540 on the Braves. Tough loss in Chi-Town. Getting ready, though, for the Pirates. All on the way, man. Live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.